turn to one portion just as a little starter upper for you tonight. Starter upper, okay? Psalm 1 and Psalm 2, okay? And then I'm going to have you kind of break into little groups for a few minutes and have prayer. Okay, here we go. Hey, do we have the iPad, Pastor? One little diagram, too, we'll share. How do you learn? If you think about it in life, how do you learn? You know, what do you learn? Good to have the guys here, Teen Challenge guys. Great. Good to have you. What are the elements for learning and growing? Okay. First, we can make a triangle. It goes like this. Messages or teaching, the top. But because we listen and the Holy Spirit teaches us, but a lot of, to be honest, a lot of the things that we listen to, we don't have a strong application. It's maybe theoretical. Maybe some of you have listened to a message here from the pulpit and it's gone right into your heart and fed you. It fed you. It encouraged you. You understood it. It was like awesome. Okay? That happens. Hallelujah. But sometimes also I just have the teaching and I wonder, well, very good message. I don't really know what that's going to do for me. I got to pay my bills. I lost my job. I've got a problem with my girlfriend. My dog is sick. So thank you very much. So this is one part of learning is the teaching. Another part is your crises, your troubles, and everyday living, okay? This is where you learn by this. You learn by life. Life teaches you. This is what happens. Don't get hurt when you get hurt. When you get hurt, don't get hurt, you know? This is Hebrews 3. When you get troubled, don't let the trouble lead you away into more trouble. When you get troubled, this is the third one, and it's relationships. People. They help us. They may know about my life, but they may not know about my life, but they love me. They may know about my life, but they may not know exactly what I'm going through, but they are a part of my life, because God has baptized us into the body. God has made us members of each other. There are many gifts in our relationships with people, because God has ordained that. Not everybody that I know is necessarily going to help me. That's why you have to understand Psalm 1 and Psalm 2. Psalm 1 and Psalm 2. I think we'll go into that tonight. But this is a short little lesson for us. Let me repeat it. How do we learn? How do we grow? How do we survive? Maybe somebody could say, Pastor, how do I survive? Well, how do I abound in God? How do I grow in God? How do I survive? How do I rest? How do I have peace? How do I learn? How do I grow? And is any of that happening in my life? And the answer is, if you're here tonight, it's very likely that it is happening. Because it's for people that continue in faith. And if you are here tonight, you're here because you have an attitude of faith. and you come by faith, and we live by faith, and this is how we learn. And you know, when your relationships, this is why the people sitting around you here in the auditorium, you're sitting in a chair, but the people that are around you are also a big part of your life. And of course, we see that when the service is ended, we hang out for a while and we talk a little bit, or we say hi, or we, and there's a part of body life. It's undeniable. It's amazing. And then we just came back, Pastor TJ and I and Dave Stambowski were in Moscow. And I want to share a little bit about that tonight, just tell you about our trip. And really, really a little bit about this triangle, because we saw it, and it's really happening. And the Russian-speaking part of our ministry is really growing, and there's really an increase. There's really a work of God. It's amazing. And then Pastor TJ and I flew to Hungary, and we were there for 4 days, and we had a fantastic time in this spirit-filled life that we are partaking of and sharing. And by the way, the teaching being the very fundamental part of our life and our growth. And yet, at the same time, I have my life, I hear the teaching that establishes me in my faith, and then I have my life, but it's you that help me, you that receive the teaching, you that relate to God in faith, you that are helping me in my life, and then we survive. Not only survive, but we really abide, and we are really growing, and in some way, we are abounding. Okay? So I'd like you just to take a few minutes. I know you want to hear more about it. But just for prayer tonight, and just for loving each other, make a little circle around you. I know you can't turn the chair so easily. Don't do that. Just turn around, make a little circle, a little group around you, 2, 3, 5 people, 7, whatever the group is, just as a little, as believers, and just say, I need your prayer. I need your love. I need your encouragement. Let's have prayer and pray for a few minutes. Okay. Praise God. Lord, we pray you would minister to our hearts tonight. Thank you. You brought us here, and for our families, for the day we live in, for instruction, wisdom, guidance. Thank you for your righteousness, your way, your mind, your heart toward each of us here, how you love each one here, way beyond. You are the only God that rewards this faith that we have. You are the rewarder of those that diligently seek you, that walk with you in faith, trusting you. Bless these words tonight in Christ's name. Amen. Turn to John 14, please. The Psalm 1 and Psalm 2, verses, I think we will do it at another time. But John 14 and verse 15. Jesus is at the Last Supper, and he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. This is the English Standard Version. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Another helper. Let me explain something using the map here for a moment. 1975, we had a team go here to Finland. The Soviet Union, what we're looking at is a map basically of the Soviet Union. 1978, we started Bible College, 77 part-time, Bible College, 78 full-time. Pastor Monty is a young man, came in. Many others here also that are here. And a vision for the communist world, which was an iron curtain. And we did work in the Soviet Union. But when things ended, we already had some foothold there. But now we were just in Moscow, and we have churches, Azerbaijan, Turkmenistan in two places, Uzbekistan here, Tajikistan, Kyrgyzstan, Almaty, Belarus. People came from Belarus, from this Kaliningrad, St. Petersburg, Kazan here. So they came from these places to the conference we had. And what I saw was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that Christ gave to you and I and whoever believes. And the Holy Spirit is sent to do something. This is verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Very important. The world cannot receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in the world, but the world's mind, that world, is of a different spirit. But so the world cannot receive, but you can. You and I, and anyone who believes does, verse 17, because it neither sees him nor knows him. It's faith. I don't see him, but I believe in Christ, but I don't see him. I don't know him, but I believe in him. When I believe in him, the Holy Spirit is sent into us, and by the Holy Spirit we know him. We're able to know him because the Holy Spirit is sent into the world to reveal him to us. And I'm sure you know this, and I'm sure you doctrinally understand it and have experienced it. But it's a constant joy and a reference for the work of God that is in the world. When Abraham wanted to have a wife for his son Isaac, he sent a servant back home. This is far away, 800 miles. He went back to the Euphrates, and he said, try to find a wife for my son, but she can't be a Hittite or from any of these pagan nations. She has to be some relative of mine. And he said, put your hand under my thigh. So they made a vow, and the vow was she has to be a relative and willing to come here. She's willing to come here. And the servant said, what if what if Isaac would go there? And he said, that then it won't work. He cannot go there. He has to stay here. The covenant is with God and me, and this is our new land. This is our land. And the woman that will come, leave, and come here, then that's, she could be the wife for my son Isaac. Well, in a way, Jesus did the same. God is saying, I don't want the world. The world cannot come to heaven. The world cannot leave here and come to heaven. In heaven cannot go there. They just are contrary. I have to send the Holy Spirit into the world to find a bride for my son. And that woman is going to be willing that the Holy Spirit is sent into the world to find a bride for Christ. And he is doing it. Now, the little lines that I drew here, some people, this is 1970s, 1980s, early 90s, and now we are 20 years later. And these people, just like you and I, they have the Holy Spirit and they hear his voice. And the Holy Spirit is doing this. Look at verse 18. The end of 17. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. We were one time, our mother and father, in a way, was the world. You know, we were fathered in this world by the world. The world was our world. But then when he saves us, we are not orphans without a home, without a father, without a direction, without guidance, without the comforter. But we are made, brought into the family. We are baptized into him. Verse 18, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. But you will see me. You'll see me no. The world will not see me anymore. He's gone. Jesus is. They don't believe in him. They will not see me anymore. But you will see me. We met as pastors in Moscow in the morning for pastor's time and talking, and I heard some interesting stories, and I'll share a little bit with you. There was, in the mountains, in the Caucasus Mountains, there was a little boy selling cookies or crackers to people driving on the road up into the mountains to the next city in Azerbaijan. And this little boy, I saw his picture. He had a yellow box. The pastor gave him a Samaritan's purse, a little shoe box filled with little trinkets, little gifts. So he received it, and the pastor told him about Jesus. And he was so happy. He was shining. He was so happy he received the box. He went home and he told his family, I met these people, they gave me this box, and then he opened it up and he gave something to his grandmother, gave to his sister, his brother, and it was like a happy time. And he said, they told me about Jesus, and this is what they said, and I believe in Jesus. And the little boy was so happy about it. Unfortunately, the next day, the little boy was killed. A car on the road hit him, and he died. The family obviously was devastated. They got a hold of the number, phone number, on the material of the pastor who gave him the box. His name, he's one of our pastors, his name is Keith. They called him up and said, did you give my son a box the other day, you know, as a gift, and told him about Jesus? And the pastor said, yes, I did. And the man said, well, he was killed yesterday, or however the days it was, and I want to talk to you. And the pastor is saying, okay. But the pastor doesn't know, because this is a Muslim country, and he doesn't know, is he getting in trouble? Who are these people? He doesn't know. So he went there to the house. There were 16 relatives there. And the father said, you know, when our son came home, he was shining like an angel. And he was so happy that he heard about Jesus. And we want you to come here. We wanted you to come here and tell us as much as you can about Jesus. And so the pastor started talking to the whole family and ministering to them. And I understood 12 of them accepted Christ. And they were very happy to hear that good news of where their son is, and that one day they will see him again. Missions is powerful, because it isn't people going on a trip or people on a vacation or people. It is the Holy Spirit calling people out of the world. And the Holy Spirit is sent into their life and makes them different. And the Holy Spirit is the one that shows them Jesus. And this family was so convinced that their son knew that he had an amazing event that happened in his life, where they could have turned it another way and thought of it as a curse or something, and the reason why he died. But they saw it the other way, because the Holy Spirit answers our prayers. The Holy Spirit is in our work. The Holy Spirit is sent into the world to find a wife for Christ that is like her. And in the story in Genesis 24, when the servant went, he went a long way. He brought 10 camels. I mean, it was a lot of camels there on this mission. He brought 10 camels all the way. And then he didn't know how to find a woman. And so he prayed a prayer. It was simple. He said, God, may the woman who offers to water my camels be the woman that would be the wife for Isaac. So he comes to the well, sits down. Rebecca comes. It says that she was attractive and she was young and unmarried, marriageable age. She was a maiden. And he's sitting there, and he said, could I have a cup of water? And she took the little bit out of the jar, you know, for him to drink. And then she said, would you like me to water your camels? And he said, yes. And it said that the words are that she went quickly, and she did it. And you know, there's something about us that brings water to people. There's something about us where we are moving in a mission. We are moving like it's not even, you don't even have to convince me. I water your camels. God is with me. I feel this. I want to do it. I'm willing to do it. I can do it. I'm happy to do it. Just say the word. You see, the world isn't like that. The world is like, you know, do I really have to do it? How much are you going to pay me? I'll do it tomorrow. Maybe. Let me think about it. I'm not sure. World cannot understand the ways of God. But when you and I learn God, when we learn to walk with God, we find, you know, we find something. We find our calling. We find our purpose. We find the Holy Spirit showing us Jesus Christ. Wow. Another story. I don't want to point out which country it was, but one pastor, one story goes this way. The KGB, they do a lot of policing in this country. They know everything going on because they don't want ISIS, Islamic terrorists. They don't want these groups to take over. They don't want them to murder. They don't want them to overthrow governments. They're right on every, you know, they know a lot. So this KGB police force came to one of our pastors and said, I would like the names and addresses of 10 of your people, and we will pay you, and you can work for us. We need this information. And the pastor said, I can't do that. And the police said, we will get that information. It's not a problem. We will get that information. It's simply that we would pay you for it. And so we're going to get it anyway, with or without you. But we will get that information. But we can pay you for it. Well, this is important. It's important that we would have a resource that would be different from the world. It's important that we would have something more than our sin nature. It's important that we would have the Holy Spirit and give us convictions and teach us. It's important when we are tempted, by, like, Lot's wife, was tempted, like she just couldn't not turn around and look. And these temptations that all of us have them. I'm tempted to be intimidated. I'm tempted to be afraid. I'm tempted to compromise. I'm tempted, I'm attracted to Sodom and Gomorrah, or I am attracted to what Rebecca is doing. Rebecca is saying, do you want me to water your camels? I mean, water for 10 camels? Like, Rebecca must have been like weightlifter. You know, a lot of work. I wonder how long that would take. You know what I mean? Okay, I can water your camels. What spirit is that? Right? What is God doing in this world? And so that's our thought tonight. The pastor doesn't have a problem with saying no to the KGB because he already knows who those people are. And the same for you and I. When we work in the world, we work in the world. But when we are made these offers, when we are given these options, we kind of already know what spirit we are of and how we think and how we trust and how we pray and how we believe that God's ways are different. Let me say one thing shortly about that. You know, to be celibate no sex in your life until marriage. What does the world say about it? To be celibate, to no sex with my girlfriend or boyfriend, nothing until marriage. What's the world say about it? Ask your neighbor, go ahead. You're too shy to tell me. Ask your neighbor, what do they say?
Is he kidding me?
What did they say? What's the world say? Yeah, they say, yeah, everybody's doing it. They say, Pastor Steve, what did you say? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Yeah, you know, there are, the world is saying, you know, yeah, you can lie a little bit. That's how it works. You lie, you cheat a little bit. That's how it works. Everybody does it. You mean you are going to be honest? You mean with one lie, you could get another $10,000, $20,000 with one lie? What do you think? You see, there's something about you and me that we didn't have before, and that's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit in Psalm 25 shows us a different way. We have learned a different way. And the world says we're stupid, but you and I know, or at least we're learning, no. I have chosen this way because there's something else going on. And Rebecca is kind of a good example. Because the Holy Spirit is sent into the world to get a wife for Christ. So the servant that goes to get Rebecca is like the Holy Spirit, and Rebecca, like being one with him and saying, "Can I water your camels?" is a picture of how we have a different thing going on in our life. And he's saying, "Thank you, God, she's the one." And she goes with him back, and they get married, and the story goes on. It's a great story. So, that's all. Let's read the verses and we'll finish. I mean, with just because the text is so good. Verse 20. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you and me, and I and you. There couldn't be anything more confusing than that. Do you know what that's called? That's called a mystery. In that day, you will know something. You will know it. Maybe you can't explain it, but you'll know it. I am in you, you are in me. I am in the Father is in me. I am in you, you are in me, and you will know that. Do you know that tonight? I don't know what it is, but that just makes sense to me. I can't explain it, but I feel that I am one with God. Like in a fellowship that is so amazing. And the only reason, and I want to just say another thing about our time in Moscow, it's amazing. We have different group of teenagers from southern Russia. I didn't draw that on there, but down here. They came with a Pastor Loganoff here, and they drove up 18 hours, and they were so excited about it. It was like they were so excited to be with us. And it was so beautiful. And I'm looking around at this, and Finnish people came, and we just had a beautiful time of fellowship and the Holy Spirit speaking to us. And we are saying this conference is so important for the Russian-speaking world. Let's pray. Let's believe that things will double, that God will do these works and save souls. And they were talking about it, and they were saying, yes, there's persecution. Yes, there are things like that, but we are well able. We are well able. That's the spirit of it. And so our prayers, our fellowship, our oneness with God is our testimony in our country. And we are saying we are part of something absolutely incredible. God has called us to be the bride of Christ. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, we are so thankful. We're so thankful. For the people in this assembly that pray, they pray, and somebody in the mountains in the Caucasus, and there is some work of God, a revival work of God. Somebody in Siberia is walking down the street and your spirit, and using your servants. And we are one. We are one. And the Holy Spirit is doing this. Please lead us, Lord, in our prayers and our heart convictions, that when the world calls us stupid, it's okay. It's okay. We have found another way to live and think. And it's okay, because we have you as our comforter. And our reward is with you. And we'll wait for our reward to be fully manifested one day. But we will not be ashamed in that day, but edified. For Bible college starting up, for training, for getting words of life, for changing us and leading us in the spirit of grace. For great grace is upon us. Grace is here. Grace is moving. Grace is saving. Grace is calling people out. Yes, thank you, God. The young people in Finland tonight, for the wedding this weekend, for your work in Finland, Lord. Jesus, the work here in our school, for the young people in public schools, for every parent, every family, Father, for our times, our prayer times, our altar, our family altar, for our troubles and our concerns, for friends, for prayer, for body members, for love. God, thank you. All by your Holy Spirit, God. And then anyone here listening on the internet or here in the auditorium, yeah, God is tugging on your heart to say, come to me, believe in me. And you're saying, I am believing. You decide it tonight. I am believing. You're making a decision. I am believing. I want Jesus in my life. I want Jesus to save me. Just say that simple prayer and believe God, and he saves you. And then share it with someone here in the auditorium before you leave tonight. Come up here and say it to us, that I want to believe, I believe, and keep coming. In Christ's name, amen.